We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. I'm Kel Dansby.
It's Andreas Hale, the usual.
And by now, you know that we talk hip-hop, boxing, pro wrestling, and MMA. The only place doing this. So thank you guys for listening. And on this episode, we got a ton to talk about because I feel like I haven't slept in like 3 days because it's just wrestling overload. And next week is going to be even crazier.
Yeah, man, it's busy, man. I was dreading this month coming, and now it's here, and now I know why I dreaded it. I should be at Comic-Con
You should be at Comic-Con right
but
now.
But I'm not. I'm here for I got to cover Postal Crawford. So, unfortunately, I'm here with you.
We're missing a lot of good shit. Like, you know, in August, it's like, man, we should be at SummerSlam. We're going to be here covering Conor.
Yep.
And UFC 202. Like, Dana White didn't know SummerSlam's date, and he couldn't, you know, move that around a little bit.
Well, I bet he knows now with Brock Lesnar getting popped for two tests. Well, let's start with the wrestling. What's the big news this week? The draft? Is that where we're
draft.
Starting?
Draft. Our drafts were way off. But yet better than the real draft. Coming into the draft, there was big talk. You know, Raw was the flagship. And Daniel Bryan, being the GM of SmackDown, which was also announced, it seemed like, you know, everything was building up to make Raw that good SmackDown, that good underdog story and give them those hardcore wrestlers, the Daniel Bryan type guys, to make that like an indie promotion. And it fell short of that.
Felt like the draft was a failure.
Really? I love the concept of it, way they pulled it off. It made it feel like real sports. There were rounds, so you put a match in between, and it was like first round, second round. That was dope. Like, to see Roman Reigns go first pick in the second round, how disrespectful is that? He Geno Smith.
Yeah, but it was bad. Like, they didn't have – here's my problems with it. Aside from the picks, like, first of all, the matches were inconsequential. Nothing mattered, right?
No.
Like – That's why we're not talking about Raw, because nothing mattered. Even that stupid finish with Ambrose and Rollins, we don't care, because they rectified it on SmackDown, which we knew they would.
Definitely.
But not having cameras backstage to see the real reactions or doing the interviews on the fly, forcing you to go to the network, which kind of takes away from people who have smart TVs, because now you can't watch SmackDown and the draft. Like, you got to pick one. Like, you can watch the draft on SmackDown, but you can't watch the reactions that were on the network.
Oh, I had my laptop open.
But it's a pain in the ass to try to watch both.
Yeah, like, I tried to be smart about it. The network show was actually better than the TV product.
Yeah, they had real reactions.
Real reactions, 4 hours, which was bananas. But it was great to see, you know, everyone came straight to the back. They had good questions outside of Booker T's stupid questions. And it was a dope reaction. That felt like a real sport. It was a complete shoot back there. You know, Nia Jax is a heel. She's crying. You have Cesaro, who's a face for all purposes, and he just let him have it. Kalisto fucked up his promo.
Worst promo in the history of wrestling. Yo, okay, let's talk about that real quick.
He was better off just cutting the entire thing in Spanish.
Like, he should have just wore his mask, said nothing, and left. Like, he should have just wore his mask, pointed, and left. That's it.
That's a damn shame.
He was, I mean, what did he, like, he,
I'm Lucha.
And he's just kind of like, and he walked off. That was the worst promo I've ever seen. Some guys,
he's
just
bringing
clearly,
Lucha to SmackDown.
Come on, some guys. Okay, we're gonna get into the picks in a second. But Cesaro cut a good promo,
great promo,
because he wasn't scripted. He flew off the handle and did his thing. Kalisto, on the other hand,
needs a script, and they show you.
Man, he needs cue cards, a teleprompter. He needs it all. Terrible.
And you know, Owens did his thing because Owen can go unscripted.
He's Owens.
Back there, who else had a great one? Enzo and Cass. Just off the top of the dome, Enzo, like, he's that quick-witted and slick-talking no matter what. He doesn't need any script, no practice. He had me dying back there. The New Day was great.
AJ Styles was great. He's proving that the heel turn's not a bad idea.
No, he speaks a lot better as a heel.
Yeah.
He can just be open and honest, which is why people fought for so long to see Roman Reigns as a heel. It's like, yo, he can't talk as a face. Just let him be honest.
Yeah,
let him be a heel.
So let's talk about the picks, right?
Number one overall, the first pick.
It was my first pick. I mean, that was
Seth Rollins.
We knew that was coming. Seth Rollins being number one.
Well,
Ambrose,
Cena could have went one. I mean.
But what's the point? Like, I think that part of the draft makes sense because you're trying to put together your future.
Yeah, he is the future.
Whatever seed gets drafted, it doesn't matter. He's still going to be the star no matter where he goes. But you're basically saying this is our future. Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Charlotte.
Okay, so this is something, you know, I listen to the Law podcast and all that stuff on iTunes, and they do immediate reactions. Shout out to those guys. Great podcast show. And they had the same question I had. Is the draft format and not a lottery format, does that give an actual insight into Vince McMahon and management's thinking and perception on these wrestlers?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The way that
so
they
it's actually like a shoot. Like, this isn't like, so as you're watching this, it's like, yo, this holds some true merit on where you go.
Yeah, it definitely does, because guys like Darren Young and Apollo Crews, you can see they clearly lost faith in Apollo Crews. You see where he was drafted.
I can't even scroll down that far on my list. I ain't going to lie to you.
You see where a lot of these guys went, and you start wondering, well, where are they going to – because if you're not drafted –
Cruz went 45.
45, right? They lost faith in him. He was one of the call-ups. So this is really indicative of where they are going to be at on the roster, with the exception of a few guys like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn who were drafted – Kevin Owens was drafted retardedly low.
Yeah.
That's not even politically correct.
They did
that
for
so
a reason.
Ridiculous.
They did that for a reason. They're smart in that one. He's going to carry that chip all year long. And he's going to just beef with everyone. Like, I should have been drafted higher. That's going to be his, like, shtick for the next 3 months.
I mean, looking at this draft list, I mean, what do you make of the SmackDown? Let's start with SmackDown. What do you make of overall the SmackDown roster?
The SmackDown roster, as it stands, is the third best roster. I lie. It's the fourth best roster in the WWE right now.
Fourth?
Fourth. Raw is ahead of it, NXT's roster is ahead of it, and the CWC is ahead of it. That's how bad SmackDown is.
I wouldn't go that far.
It's that bad. Outside of the first three picks, Shane just took a nap. Vince was like, yo, you're getting John Cena? Shut up. Everyone else goes to Raw.
You are right about that. I mean, I felt like they did give it up. Like, after four picks, they phoned it in, right? They brought in American Alpha, as soon as they brought in American Alpha, I was like, who are they feuding with?
Yeah.
That was the first question. I was like, who did you draft to feud with?
They didn't pick another televised tag team.
No. Who else was there? The Usos? Come on.
The Usos Ascension. Was the next tag team.
The Ascension. I mean, Breezango? Is this, like, this makes you...
I'd be happy, you know, when we get Luke Harper back. As long as he goes to SmackDown, that'd be a great feud. The Wyatt family, kind of the Wyatt boys versus American Alpha is tag team versus tag team. That's great. But American Alpha is like, hey, the belts aren't here. It's like, yeah, with that talent, they're never coming over. So you're going to go a year without holding championships?
I mean, none of this. Like, if you look at top-tier talent for a two-hour show that's weekly, how much can you interchange AJ Styles, John Cena, and Randy Orton in the title picture? Because nobody else here is going to get a run at a title, right? Like, you're going to have Ambrose. Ambrose versus Styles will probably be next. And we're going to do Cena and Orton again?
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do, Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose? We've already seen that.
Wyatt's going to get the run at, like, some major title.
Like, I mean, what – it's bad. And it makes you realize, yo, the roster is kind of thin.
Well, it's thin when you stack one side of it.
Well, you got a three-hour show.
That's a horrible argument.
Which they should have moved.
And you have cruiserweights, all the cruiserweights. That's your extra hour.
Well, what cruiserweights?
Well, that's now the
that's
major key.
That's the next
key.
Question. Kalisto's on SmackDown.
That made no sense to me, but I'm assuming they signed six of the Cruiserweight Challenge guys and then Neville, and then that's your whole division.
You think they're going to put them all on Raw?
Yeah, you just need seven.
I just don't understand the logic in any of this, right? My other question, while staying on the topic of how bad the SmackDown roster is, it's top-heavy.
Yeah.
Because AJ Styles is probably your best in-ring performer with Seth Rollins.
Correct.
John Cena is your biggest crossover star.
Yes.
Randy Orton is always going to be the veteran who knows how to put people over and can also put together a good match when necessary. Because we know Randy Orton has sleptwalked through matches before. So Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt feud is possible. But anything beyond the next 4 months is blurry as hell to me.
I don't know how you put together a quality pay-per-view if you're SmackDown. I mean, I guess that's where guys like Apollo Crews have to earn their worth. You're going to be third on the card, like third from last on the card. Like, you're going to be legit right outside the co-main. You better earn this paycheck.
They've done such a horrible job.
Darren Young didn't get drafted on television. He's going for a title.
look. Answer me this question, right? So we know the tag team titles are on Raw.
Correct.
And we have no idea how American Alpha is going to make it to them, right?
Well, I'm assuming you can bridge during the four major pay-per-views and snatch the belts to your side.
So what do you do in the interim?
In between?
Yeah.
They stay on that promotion. Like, you can't
as
do it.
As a tag team, what do you do? You
just chill.
You do the round robin with the Ascension and...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. Same with the women's division.
I think the way they would have to do it is to set up a tournament-style bracket on the other, you know, the non-title promotion. Like, let's say 2 weeks before Royal Rumble, you have the tournament, four-people tournament or four-team tournament. The winners of that get to challenge for the belt at Royal Rumble. So there's no need for, like, a huge buildup. The champions on the other side know we're facing the number one contenders from SmackDown. So the New Day would face the number one contenders from the SmackDown tournament.
Then how do you promote that without them appearing on each other's show?
The tournament. The tournament aspect is the promotion. Yeah, that is the key.
What I'm saying is, like, if I'm the champ, right?
Yeah.
And I'm fighting somebody from SmackDown.
Correct.
What am I doing while they're figuring out who's the number one contender?
You're trash-talking everybody.
That's boring.
No, the New Day can make fun of them on Raw. They don't got to be there.
You know how tired that gets if you can't, like, if you can't interact?
2 weeks.
But if you can't interact, it doesn't make sense. Because if this holds true, if you're going to do this with the women's division as well, which I think is a huge mistake.
Becky Lynch.
A huge mistake.
Is the only one that can.
Right. So the huge mistake here is not just putting all the women on Raw and then bringing some of the Raw talent over to SmackDown to balance this thing out. That was the huge mistake. Aside from, you know, drafting Nia Jax, Carmella, and everybody
over
but
Bayley.
Bayley.
Mojo Rawley.
Mojo Rawley's on the roster.
Stay hype, bro.
So... Basically, the SmackDown roster is pretty shitty.
It's not good. SmackDown, all right, let's see. First round was pretty good. Ambrose at two is a little high.
He's a champ. You can't draft a champ.
Rollins went ahead of him, so.
I mean, that's Stephanie's. That makes, storyline-wise, it makes sense. Stephanie's a Rollins guy. We have no idea when Triple H is going to come out, so him and Rollins can eventually feud. But, yeah, that makes sense. I'm not mad at that.
Charlotte getting drafted at three is a reach.
No, you get your women's champion. You better put emphasis on the women's division being important. I'm not mad at that pick. I don't have a problem with it.
Styles went four. Finn went five.
I have no problem with
that. Which is incredibly high for someone no one knows. Like, the majority of their fan base have no clue who he is, and they're like, yo, this guy just went five.
And here's the mistake. He didn't appear on the show.
No, he was on the network.
He should have done an interview. Like, he should have had a live reaction of Finn Balor with a highlight reel. To go
ready.
Along with it. Like, yep. If this is the next pick, this is like the guy you're coming out of high school, essentially. So why wouldn't you package him like the LeBron James coming into
the
league?
He has something big on Monday, right? Coming out of a pay-per-view.
Of course. Like, you can't do Monday Night Raw without Finn Balor basically anchoring the beginning of that show. That first segment has to be Finn Balor either coming out, or at the end he runs in and whoever the champion
is. Just wreck somebody, yeah.
That's the only way.
Like, you need demon promos and all that.
Like,
we have Roman Reigns, six to Raw.
Makes sense, whatever.
Yeah, him and Seth have to finish their beef. Cena to SmackDown at seven.
I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem. Behind AJ Styles, I don't have a problem with that.
All right. Lesnar to Raw.
If he didn't get popped for that drug test, I bet he would have been higher.
Damn near might have been one.
I'm just saying, as soon as that drug test, it was like, we can't really draft him like that. There's a lot of heat on Lesnar right now.
Raw does not care about drug testing.
No, they won't even talk about it.
They're like, yo, you failed test? That's okay.
They don't care.
Come to our network. We got 3 hours to fill.
Right.
That's the excuse. Orton went nine. Tag team champs, New Day went 10. So it was a strong top 10. Orton, to me, a little high, but SmackDown needed, you know,
gotta
elite
have a name.
Level people.
Got to have a face.
Sami Zayn went 11. Wyatt at 12. Sasha Banks, 13. What up, bae? So, you know.
Who also got pinned for the first time on SmackDown?
She got pinned?
Did you pay attention?
No, I didn't. I was watching. Whenever matches came on TV, I watched the network.
Therein
and
lies
the
my problem, because the USA Network wants you to watch their commercials, and nobody watched the USA
commercials. Someone was like, oh, there's an amazing split screen. I looked up on my screen. I was like, oh, yeah, the matches are going on during commercials.
Yes.
I looked right back on my computer because the network stuff was great. So I just wanted to watch interviews. Honestly, I didn't watch anything. I had my television on mute until pick time came up, and I unmuted it. And that's only because the network was like on a 3-minute delay, and I didn't want to be late.
Yeah, Sasha got pinned in the handicap match. She ate a natural selection while she had the bank statement on Dana Brooks and got pinned for the first time. And nobody said nothing because Sasha hadn't been pinned
at all
for a year.
Yeah.
Even though she's been intermittently on the show. But she hadn't been pinned, and she lost. She got pinned for the first time, and nobody said shit.
They missed a lot of shit.
Great storytelling.
Becky Lynch, 14, which is high for Becky.
That's high. Because what are we establishing here? Like, basically you're saying, hey, Becky, no chance of the women's title for you. Come to SmackDown.
That's it.
It's like
they went like, you know, they're like, oh, title nine. It's real. So we dumb. Need a woman.
So dumb.
Chris Jericho, 15. That's
high.
All right.
High. Anybody over Kevin Owens at this point is too high. Anybody like at this
oh,
point.
Oh, man, Jericho.
Yeah. Like, come on, man.
They went with the Raw is Jericho angle. Whatever. Rusev, 16. He has a belt. And he comes with Lana. So Raw needed a belt. That was a major concern.
Rusev should have been on SmackDown.
IC title on SmackDown, I like. I don't like Rusev on SmackDown.
I do, because I think Rusev, you need, like, look at this. If you look at this right now, I mean, there's a lot of things that also move around, but Rusev should be on a wrestling. Rusev and Cesaro and Kevin Owens should have been on SmackDown. If you want to
enhance
that
Cesaro,
roster,
definitely.
Like, if you want to enhance that roster and have great matches, you move those guys. Like, The Miz shouldn't be on SmackDown.
No.
The Miz can't wrestle as well as, like, Rusev puts on good performances.
There's better wrestlers on the Raw side.
This is really confusing. But, yeah, Rusev being where he's at, I get it, because maybe they look at Lana as being a star. But
Kevin Owens went after that, though, and he went to Raw, too. Him and Sami Zayn. The rivalry lives on. I thought they'd be split.
I thought they would be split, too, and I think it was a big mistake. One of them should have been on SmackDown. Kevin Owens. Unless you're going to push him on Raw and pick him high, I just don't understand the logic.
There's no chance for him to grow on Raw. He's going to be stuck with, what, the U.S. title now? That's it?
The only thing is, see, I have to backtrack.
Unless you have two belts.
Like, if he won the Money in the Bank and it was sitting on that as a low pick, that makes sense. If he's going to use this as fuel to make his title run eventually, that makes sense. But just drafting him low for the sake of
but
drafting
now he
low.
Has to jump Brock, which got easier due to the pop test.
I mean,
due to
the fact that he never wrestles. Yeah, but
he has to jump Roman. He has to jump Rollins
really
and Finn for a title.
There's not that many people. Like, essentially, the
six people?
Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, and Finn Balor could be in a triple threat match at Royal Rumble, and I'd be happy.
Yeah, I mean, we would.
I don't know about everybody else.
And then Baron Corbin, 19. And Apollo Crews is 45. Look, Corbin is 19.
Baron Corbin is a guy that is a Vince prototype because of his size, but he's on the wrong show. He should have been on Raw.
Well, he can't.
Why is he on SmackDown?
Yeah, I don't know.
If you're going to push that guy.
They need another heel, and they want to give him a belt.
Look how many heels are on SmackDown. Styles, Orton, who I guess is a heel. Wyatt's a heel. Miz is a heel. Corbin's a heel. Del Rio's a heel. Kane, I don't know what the hell Kane is. Kalisto should be a heel because being a face does him no favors. And the rest of the faces are terrible. It's
true.
It's just John Cena and Dean Ambrose. I keep forgetting Ambrose is there, too.
Round 5, Gallows and Anderson. First pick.
Split up the club.
I thought so.
There's a reason why they didn't make shirts.
Yeah. You know, AJ Styles, it's time for him to go off on his own. I think Vince really wants to put Styles to the moon now, which is odd.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. But he kind of fell in love with the workhorse that Styles is. And he's not getting any younger. No. So you make him, you know, go by himself, and then you attach those guys and bring them in for the reason they were bought over from New Japan, to be part of the Balor Club with Finn.
It'll just
be the club.
Does it make any sense, though? If Finn Balor's going to be a face on Raw and you attach him to the heels in the club, does that make any sense whatsoever?
He can't be a face, right?
Who, Finn?
Yeah. Not Finn, with them.
It doesn't make sense.
I mean, his character's a demon. It's not hard to turn a demon guy into a heel.
Yeah, but it just doesn't make sense. Like, that's what they bring in, because he's going to come in with a pop, right? So Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns are essentially your top guys, right? And they all should be getting booed. Roman's going to get booed.
Yeah.
Finn's a heel, he's going to get booed. And Seth Rollins shouldn't get booed, but he's going to get booed.
Definitely.
So who's your star?
And then Kevin Owens gets booed.
So who's your star on Raw?
I don't know. Good question. They don't have any faces either.
Like, look.
There's a shortage of face people.
Sami Zayn?
Sammy? He's the
Sammy's
underdog,
your
but
only face.
He's not going to hold the face. Major title.
Like, Roman Reigns is your face, but nobody likes him.
No.
He got booed.
Oh, yeah, that's rough.
Unforgivably at the draft.
And then later, you know, Big Show goes. Who cares? Dolph Ziggler is going to job on SmackDown.
No, he'll probably get a push on SmackDown at this point. They're too thin. That's
might as well,
thin.
Right?
Yeah.
Nia Jax getting the call up.
Too green, not ready.
I don't think she's ready, but they love the body type.
Yeah.
And the so monster heel.
They love the Apollo Crews body type, too. Let's see how that worked out.
Nia went, you know, probably 25 picks ahead of him. Neville gets drafted, which is good. Sleeper pick.
Cruiserweight champ.
I think so. Perfect belt for him. Natty goes to SmackDown to continue a rivalry. Cesaro to Raw, which he hates. Does a great promo about it. Del Rio, Sheamus. And that's the end of the televised picks.
Now.
Yo, it's crazy. And then the off-air picks. You know, off-air picks I'm not too mad at, though.
I am, because why are the Dudley Boys on Raw and not SmackDown feuding with American Alpha?
Yeah, I don't know. They're going to be wasted on Raw.
Why are the Golden Truth on Raw and not feuding with American Alpha?
Why are the Golden Truth in WWE? I don't know.
That's a whole other question. Look, Braun Strowman was separated. Bo Dallas, the Shining Stars. Alicia Fox is on Raw with Dana Brooke.
Foxy.
So your women's division consists of Paige, Alicia Fox, Dana Brooke, Sasha Banks, and Charlotte. That is your division.
Yeah.
Five people.
That's good. They only need two. They're only giving camera time to two.
I'm just saying, like, why?
Maybe Paige.
I don't want to beat a dead horse, but even Marie's on SmackDown. Son, can we just move them all over to Raw? Why couldn't we just thicken this division up?
Yeah, they diluted the division.
They
and
hurt it.
Listen, I'm not against Bayley still being pulled up on Sunday and being Sasha Banks'
and
partner.
If they do that, that is the dumbest idea I've ever seen.
Because she should have just been drafted?
It defies everything that you just put together. You just defied everything by just pulling her up.
Well, I think the draft, as good as it was for one night, and them treating it like a real promotion and real sport is kind of like the new thing. And they're going to do, you know, like free agency. There's going to be free agency. When people move up from NXT, they're not going to be like, yo, you're on SmackDown, you're on Raw. They're going to say, no, you are getting drafted here. Or, excuse me, you're getting signed here, you're getting signed there. And we're going to see the GMs, like, sweet talk them, take them out to dinner. And they're going to compete for someone. Like, when Nak moves up, everyone's going to be competing for Nakamura. Daniel Bryan's going to be like, hey, old buddy, Samoa Joe, all that stuff.
You got to have a free agency period for that to make sense. Like, you can't wait a week, like 6 days, and just bring Bayley in.
She's an unsigned free agent.
Let's talk about the ramifications.
She's Victor Cruz.
What does this do to the NXT? Because now it's Asuka. Who is she feuding with? They just stripped everybody worth it. All that's left are up-and-comers in NXT.
Yeah.
Royce, Tessa Blanchard, like nothing but up and covers. They drafted Carmella.
Who was not ready.
None of these women are ready.
And Carmella went to SmackDown. Enzo and Cass aren't even there.
So I don't think it makes any sense to have Bayley left there with Asuka.
No sense at all.
To just be feuding with each other. Because that's all they have left. And once Bayley, if Sasha pulls Bayley this week, I'm just going to throw my TV. I have a big screen, so I can't throw it.
Asuka's too good to be going against developmental chicks, too.
Man, this doesn't
they
make
can't
any
even
sense.
Go. We didn't see Samoa Joe. We didn't see Nakamura.
With no explanation. I don't even understand that.
I'm assuming everyone in the title pictures for Brooklyn were just excluded.
So couldn't they just say that?
They really should have just said that.
They said, hey, Samoa Joe's a champ. He's ineligible. Nakamura just earned the number one contender, so he has to stay. Like, yep. They could have done that. They did nothing. They gave us nothing.
They were concentrating on other things, like making sure Stephanie McMahon had a Raw dress on.
This draft was stupid. The more I'm going down the list, I'm just like, this draft was...
We have to see how free agency plays out. I think that's going to be a huge portion of it. SmackDown is so thin. I think the NXT guys who do get called up eventually will be on SmackDown.
Who's left?
I think Samoa Joe... Bobby Roode, Austin Aries.
And then nobody's
Joe's been there.
Knock,
Aries, Joe all eventually end up on SmackDown.
And then there's nobody left on NXT.
It's develop new stars. Sign new people.
But
they'll
it's
be
a
fine.
Touring brand now.
Okay. Sign Ibushi. Sign, you know, Sabre
saying.
Jr. Like, you got to create new stars. Triple H knew what he signed up for.
Did he?
He did. He signed up
or
to take a developmental.
To try to figure out what the hell they're doing here.
No, I'm pretty sure from the beginning he knew it was developmental. And when it's developmental, you're developing them to be taken.
I just,
it's like college football, yo. He better be Urban Meyer. The turnaround is quick, but you got to keep drafting him. Like Calipari, you better get a bunch of blue chip stars. And every year you go out there to the selling trail, and you have something to sell. the easiest way to make it to the main roster and immediately be a star is through me and through here. That sells.
It just, this is just, I just think that the draft was just a bad idea. Splitting these brands up is just a bad idea. Because we're going to see it when the ratings show up after a couple weeks. Because next week, people are going to watch Raw, people are going to watch SmackDown. Give it about 6 weeks. Let's see who's watching what and when.
Yeah, SmackDown, once again, I don't think SmackDown is going to be worth my 2 hours. If I still have to go out and do something in my life, it's going to be on Tuesday nights.
Yeah,
because I'm not missing Wednesdays. Cruiserweight Classic and NXT.
We got to cram all this in before the show, too.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on. Enough about the WWE. Oh, well, we got Battleground coming up.
Battleground, yeah. So we have to preview Battleground. It's, like you said, it has no bearings on anything. Because a lot of these aren't setting up anything. People are on different brands now. You know the feuds aren't going to last that long. And they're probably not even going to last going into SummerSlam. What, we have one feud going into SummerSlam?
Yeah.
And we don't even know if, you know, that Shield feud is going to carry over. It might just be like two of the members.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this and it's like, you're basically telling me by the draft order that Zack Ryder and Darren Young are both going to lose.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Did you expect them to win beforehand?
No, but don't at least...
Do you want Darren Young to be great? You're trying
to
make Darren Young great?
What's the point if he loses to The Miz? Like,
hit the cross-face chicken wing?
Just don't project... Like, they're projecting really hard what's going to happen to these guys by their draft positions. So, all right, let's talk about it. Because let's just talk about the title picture.
All right, triple threat. Ambrose, Reigns, Seth Rollins. I think this is how they split the titles up. I think Roman Reigns is not going to immediately come back and just be handed a title. The crowd would go nuts. Did you hear how they booed him when they drafted him? Like, if you come back and put the title immediately on him again, Vince is going to get run out of whatever city they're in. I think Roman Reigns has to lose this, and I think we see the double pin. I think we see Rollins and Ambrose both pin Roman Reigns at the same exact time, and both get counted, and both of them are legitimately champion. And they're in two different promotions, and they take the belt.
If you're right, that's so shitty and predictable. Like, I'm just shrugging myself. I think Dean Ambrose should win this match clean.
He just won clean. I doubt he does it twice.
Because you can have a legit tournament on Raw for a new champion, right? And you can legitimize it because it's on your flagship show. And you can bring
Give
back
some time.
The all-gold title belt and let Dean Ambrose keep a belt back on SmackDown. The double pin idea is just, it's been done so many times. We just did it on NXT.
On NXT, yep.
Like, to do it again is to split the titles and for that to be the way you split the titles, there's no closure.
I like the way they did it with Corbin. It was Corbin, Joe, and Zayn?
Yeah, but then they just kind of... Like, but with this, they just go their own separate ways. Like, you take a piece of title, I take a piece of title. I don't like that idea. Although I can't say I don't see it happen, I just don't like the idea.
I don't know how else they split. I mean, the tournament, once again, you're investing a lot of time into another belt.
You ain't got shit else to do.
You really don't. You got
3 hours.
Hours I'm just, that's very true. You make a good case. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, their first solo match in the WWE. What do you expect?
Like a double disqualification. Something to keep this thing going through SummerSlam for a ladder match.
They need something to grab from the ladder.
Yeah, I know. One of them has to win a title, which they won't get from Rusev. So never mind. Forget I just said
You know what's crazy?
Street fight.
Is ladder match, loser who doesn't grab the briefcase has to go to SmackDown.
Yeah, that'd be nice, but it's not going
to
happen.
Sami Zayn grabs a briefcase, sending Kevin Owens to SmackDown. Where he should have been anyway.
Yeah, that's true, but it's not going to happen. I think something that leads them to a street fight, an unsanctioned street fight, because they teased all this at the end of the feud, and they're still
It's not
going to
be. Yeah, it's not going to be the end of a feud,
so
by no means. They're Peter Griffin and the chicken. Like, it really is. Like, their feud is forever going. Like, as soon as you think it died out, they're just right back at it. Six-man tag match. Cena, Enzo, Big Cass versus The Club.
AJ should win this match.
What? AJ just beat Cena.
Beat him again.
No. No way.
Beat him again.
AJ doesn't take the pin, but the club, one of the members of the club has to take the pin.
No,
Cena has to win.
Well, have AJ beat Enzo. Keep AJ strong.
I think AJ just beat Enzo.
Don't weaken the club. Enzo and Big Cass are already as over as they can possibly be, so them taking a loss won't hurt them. And do something that keeps AJ and John Cena feuding into a 2 out of 3 falls match. Wait, at SummerSlam. Yeah, do that.
I think AJ and the club has to lose. I think AJ has to blame the loss on the club and say he's glad to be going on his own way and he can beat Cena by himself. And that leads the club to look for a new leader in Finn Balor.
You know, the worst thing about these guys separating is I really actually like to beat John Cena.
Yo, that shit's hilarious. Like, the hashtag is everywhere, too.
Like, beat John Cena was, like, the best thing going.
Just randomly everywhere.
Just every week. I thought it was great.
The Miz and Darren Young. I don't care.
I don't care either. I'd like to see Darren Young win it because I feel like all the promos are going to be wasted if he just loses to The Miz.
I feel like The Miz is good with or without the title, so exactly. I don't know why he still has it. No. I mean, as long as he has Maryse, he's good, right?
If you're trying to position new stars, give Darren Young a run. Like a Zack Ryder run. He'll lose, like, next week.
Yep. Rusev versus Zack Ryder.
Rusev will kill Zack Ryder, and that's how it should happen.
Good. Yeah. Zack Ryder's about to be a hype bro in a second.
Ugh.
Him and Mojo, tag team scene versus American Alpha.
Christ. American Alpha's getting brought up to nothing. They're getting put in, they should just left him in NXT to feud with the Revival.
If the Revival comes up, if the Revival drops the belts, Revival has to come up to SmackDown. Everyone who comes up has to go to SmackDown.
Because you defeat the purpose of a draft, you just bring people up randomly at this point. You got to have a free agency period.
So you're...
You need to, around Royal Rumble should be a free agency period, like right after Royal Rumble or right after WrestleMania should be a free agency period.
That's such a long wait.
That's fine, but you can't just don't diminish the fact that you had a draft and it basically means nothing if you just sign anybody after that. It doesn't make sense.
Listen, you got to treat it like baseball. Like, those guys are now like the Dominican players.
But do it like quarterly. Like, pick 2 free agents quarterly. Like, make the champ eligible. But this is WWE. There's no logic. Anyway, moving on.
If we gave them one more pick, they'd pick Ty Dillinger and still leave the champs down. We have The Miz. We did that. The New Day versus the Wyatt family.
Wyatt should win.
Not at the compound.
Wyatt should win this match.
Yeah, belts aren't on the line. New Day has to lose sometime.
Yeah, they got
to
lose sometime. And they put an end to a feud that really lost a lot of momentum with the New Day leashing. It's just nothing here anymore.
Yeah.
So let's just get it over with. Have Bray pin Xavier and call it a night.
And the New Day gets split up. Or excuse me, the Wyatts get split
Strowman
up.
Strowman goes to Raw.
Yep.
Where he can choose to continue the feud with the New Day if he wants to. Find some new friends.
Oh, my God. Yeah, him, exactly. the leader of something? I hope he can talk. It looks like they'll give him a push over there. It's going to be rough.
I guess.
Sasha Banks and To Be Determined versus Charlotte and Dana Brooke. So Charlotte.
Is your pick your pick still Bayley for Sasha's tag team partner?
It is. At a certain point, I thought it was Asuka if she would have got drafted. I was pretty sure it was Asuka. But, no, at this point, it is Bayley. Because you can only have people jump her for so long. Like, now it's just ridiculous that Nia Jax made it before Bayley. That Carmella made it before Bayley. Like, if you watch Battleground, it was like their season finale. Bayley was, like, crushed. Or it might have been, like, their WrestleMania weekend special or something. Bayley's crushed because everyone else gets called up after Mania. And Bayley's the last, like, horsewoman down there. And then Carmella's like, oh, it'll be okay, Bayley. And then Bayley's like, at this rate, you'll probably get called up before me. And they're like, ha, ha, ha. That shit came true.
Yeah. I'm picking Nia Jax to be the secret partner.
What?
Okay.
Yep. Nia Jax will be the secret partner, and we'll turn on Sasha after the match.
Oh, that'd be great.
Because I figured you got to establish her as a monster heel, and we haven't really done that yet. Like, she hasn't been established as anything. She's just coming over. They had her crying. She looks like a face. You need somebody to even the odds. Bring in Nia Jax. She's on the roster. Just don't leave Bayley where she's at now. You already ruined her once. Like, let her feud with Asuka. Bring her up another time. You missed the boat on this one.
I do like your idea way better than mine. That's amazing. Just have Nia beat the hell out of her. Yeah.
You got to stash one of these women to be a part of this and feud with somebody because we know Sasha and Charlotte are going to feud at
SummerSlam.
Exactly. So maybe somehow Nia factors into this. I don't know.
Charlotte's just developing a crew?
Maybe. Maybe, or just Nia's like a lone soldier who just wants the title and just wants to beat up anybody that's got
it. Sasha's in her way. Well, all right. Well, I like it. Makes sense. That's pretty much it for wrestling that we have to talk about.
Well, except for the G1 Climax.
G1 Climax.
And the CWC. which we should touch on very briefly.
Yeah, CWC was a great, great production. Made Ibushi look like a star.
Hey, Ibushi made that the dude he wrestled look like a star.
The dude he wrestled almost killed himself. A front flip over the ropes.
He tried that tope and almost died.
It wasn't even a normal tope. I was like, what are you doing?
I don't know.
His foot got caught like twice and it just tucked and rolled.
I called it like three things. I was like, oh, Meteora, no, suicide, tope. Nope. Just he fucked up. That's what happened. He essentially fucked up.
But no, Ibushi just put on a show, but everyone did.
Cedric Alexander looked phenomenal.
Looked great. He didn't even get an awful lot of his offense.
No, but I mean, I'm just talking about the weight he lost. Like, this dude looks like a star all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I feel like
is dope.
I feel like there's a lot more to Cedric and Ibushi than Cedric just getting rolled over by Ibushi this week. We'll see in a couple days by the time you guys listen to the show. No, that's a few weeks away. I think there's just going to be a lot more to it. There might be a significant push in there for Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, he has legit music. They're not going to create legit music for someone they're getting rid of.
No.
This guy's getting signed.
But the rest of it was good. Grand Metalik losing his mask, that was kind of funny.
That was funny. They had to cut away. Cut away.
Daniel Bryan has actually proven to be a great commentator and a great voice in wrestling because he sounds authentic.
Yeah.
Like, he makes sense out of things that average wrestling people are just like, eh. And then he'll, like, explain it, and then it's like, oh, okay. Him and Mauro are a great, great team.
Yeah, I heard someone today talk about he discusses and commentates on wrestling like it's a real sport.
Yeah. He does it.
It's like you'll get lost and not remember that it's scripted or fake. Because he actually treats it like a real sport.
Daniel Bryan was great.
We actually, you know, new commentary teams for Raw and SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Corey Graves is on Raw now. JBL moves over to SmackDown with Mauro.
Good for Corey, man. Corey's good.
Corey is good. David Otunga is randomly on, like, SmackDown or something.
Well, just ruin that show.
Yeah. But he's part of the announce team. But Mauro will carry them, him and JBL. And then Raw, you know, that's cool. Michael Cole and Graves.
Michael Cole's such a pain in the ass. Anyway, let's talk about G1 real quick.
G1, the A block, you know, I didn't have high hopes for it necessarily. But looking through it and watching the matches, I thought they were really good.
Tenzin and Ishii was good.
I know you like the Ishii match.
I like the style. Tama Tonga is a guy who, if you guys are watching, he looks like he could be an Uso brother. He looks like he deserves a push, but he's given us nothing for the last year.
And I thought he'd, you know, do well going into this one. Took the early L.
Yeah, if you guys are going to – we're going to move through this quick. Because if you guys want to watch, go watch the Sonata and Tanahashi match because that was phenomenal. I'm sorry to spoil it for you, but Tanahashi lost. And I mean, you should have watched it by now. I'm sorry. This is way too much G1 climax for me not to give any spoilers here. And Okada losing to Mara Fuji was a shocker to me.
Crazy. I mean, Fuji came over. That's the underdog story.
I mean, Mara Fuji's a champ. I think the thing is the OG just OG'd Okada.
Yeah.
If you watch the match.
It's old man game.
Yeah. If you watch the match, Okada didn't get a lot of his shit in.
It was a ton of reverse.
He was basically outsmarted by the OG.
Yeah.
And Mara
Fuji,
like
the old man on the basketball court. You try to play pickup, and you know he got the long white socks on with the two yellow stripes on the socks. That guy can ball. And he got old man game.
So two of your aces just lost in the A block on the first.
Tanahashi looked great in the loss, though.
Yeah, he sold the bicep like $1 million. I can't tell if this dude's arm is really
injured. Is he really injured? I mean, he was really injured.
Yeah, he was, but we don't know to what degree.
I really don't know. That's good work right there.
Definitely is.
So, yeah, I mean, great matches. Something all wrestling fans should definitely check out. But now we got to talk UFC. And we have to talk about a wrestler in the UFC. Brock Lesnar. We're so happy and just rejoicing. And he was the bright spot of UFC 200. He actually won. And then everything comes crashing down.
2 for 2 and failed drug tests. Out of competition, in competition. For supposedly the same
thing. Same thing. And it's said that it's the same thing John Jones failed his test for, which is an estrogen blocker. There's other reports, though, that said it was albuterol. So
We don't know. All we know is he got flagged twice in and out of competition. And it shows a big flaw in the drug testing system that John Jones got pulled and Brock Lesnar did not.
Because different days. I mean,
my point is this. If he was using, what if Mark Hunt got seriously hurt against Brock Lesnar? He should have been pulled. Like, these results should come back immediately.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen.
That's the problem. What's the point in testing? If you test and he tests positive and he kills somebody, he's already dead. You can't bring him back to life.
True, but they test so many people. When you go to like a place like USADA and you go to the best, one of the best drug testing organizations in the world, you're not the only clients they have. It's not the WWE. It's not independent testing.
But you can put a rush on results. The commission has the leverage to do that. And if you have
for every fight,
you have to. Otherwise, drug testing is a joke.
That's like rough. That's a tall order.
If you're gonna test somebody, if you're gonna pull John Jones 3 days before because he can't fight because he's using PEDs, but Brock Lesnar can, you have a flawed system. Like you have to find another way to do it, because there's just no. It doesn't make sense. Like if I like Mark Hunt said, he's like, well, dude, I should have his purse. I just fought somebody on PEDs.
Yeah.
Like, what is the consequence if somebody gets hurt? I'm not saying somebody's going to die. It's MMA. Like, people haven't died. But
I mean, we just saw Michael Page
kill
Santos. For all purposes, we can put a knee through his head.
Right. Like, what if he was on PEDs, right?
Yeah. Like, that's some real shit. Like, he crushed his skull.
So you tell Cyborg, yeah, well, we tested him 3 days before the fight, but we didn't get the results back, so your skull's already caved in. Sorry.
Sorry. My bad.
Flawed drug testing.
It's yeah, Michael Page did that shit. To our knowledge, completely off PEDs. That guy's a ninja.
And then he went all Pokemon on his ass.
He caught him in the Pokeball. Yo. He was straight Ash Ketchum.
Oh, my God. That dude needs to step up in competition.
Something. Why? He's like 30-something, too. They need to, like, push him. Like, but they push the old geezers instead, because that's the Bellator way.
I mean, he's unbeaten. He's 11-0. He's finished every fight but one within the distance. He needs to step up. And now he's a star. And now he's got a brutal highlight reel finish. Back to Lesnar. Do we see him in the UFC ever again?
No. No. He took the one cash out. He made it worth it. You can't take away the win. Like, people saw it with their eyes. So, in his mind, he can still do it. Regardless, like, you know, juice or not. Maybe he juiced the entire time. It is what it is. He just needed to prove that he can go in there and beat another man by hook or by crook.
Now he's out by crook. So he's out. John Jones is facing a 2-year suspension.
Yes.
Chad Mendes just got hit.
Just
with
got 2 years. It's not looking good for John Jones if Chad is getting hit with the two.
Yes,
John, he needs to start, I'm telling you, start rummaging through those supplements. Find one that's fucked up.
He has to find an estrogen blocker in a supplement.
He signed by the supplement company. Yo, y'all better put some shit in this.
Like,
backdate it. We'll take half off of the half out of the container and be like, yo, I took this.
I'm just saying, like, an estrogen blocker, it's like,
it looks real shady. The estrogen
there's
blocker,
there's nothing you can put in your protein powder.
No,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's
there's
not,
no reason to have an estrogen
and
blocker.
He's adamant, he's on Twitter, like, yeah, I'm positive. That I'm
we went back to
name.
Training yesterday.
Like,
John, what are you training for?
Sit
John?
Your ass down.
Like, sit what down. Exactly are you training?
He's just, man, I don't. Idiot. So these guys just got busted. So Brock Lesnar is going to be on the shelf. John Jones should be on the shelf. And the UFC is under new management soon. With the recent purchase. They just bought this company for $4 billion. They got a bunch of drug heads.
That's it. They got one star. Yo, I'm telling you, they better hope Conor doesn't get injured, doesn't pop for a test, nothing, because he's it. The entire company is on his back, because who else is selling pay-per-views right now?
Nobody. Like, the Fertittas got out at the right time. Look, the Fertittas
might be. UFC Atlanta, no one knows UFC Atlanta's going on.
No. 201? Nobody cares.
No one cares.
But the Fertittas are like, we ain't got to deal with this anymore.
Sorry, stealing Dana. Money. Yeah.
Yeah, like, sorry, Dana. You're going to have to deal with the babysitting, but this is rough.
It's not good. They need new stars. It's as bad as when GSP retired, right?
Pretty much.
At this point, you don't have star power. Even if Rumble knocks DC's face off whenever they fight, Rumble's kind of quiet. Like, he's not going to be a star.
Nah,
Ronda may never return. She's probably going to be off having babies.
You got a lot to deal with at this point, which leads us to UFC on Fox this weekend.
Yeah, someone they tried to push as a star until she lost, Holly Holm.
Against Valentina Shevchenko in a match between two kickboxers. This should be fun.
Great promo they cut for that.
I didn't even watch it yet.
It's on their Twitter. It's pretty good.
I'll have to watch.
They have the full show coming on today or tomorrow, depending on when you hear this. So it looks good. It got my attention. But do people care?
For a Fox card, this is might be a tough sell.
Yeah. I like when it's on Fox, but usually they have bigger names.
I mean, Holly Holm, former champion. The Barbosa Gilbert Melendez fight I'm looking forward to.
That's going
to
be good. Barbosa, he had a nice win last time.
And then after that, it's just like, oh, man, all right. Felice Herrig and Kaitlyn Curry.
Felice needs this, by the way.
Yeah.
Felice, she's about to be permanently on American Ninja Warrior.
It's not a really stacked card. I'm just most looking forward to Barbosa and Melendez fight and seeing how Holly Holm looks to see if she should get back into the title picture. Because,
of course,
Shevchenko is no easy out.
No, but Holly was up 3-1, possibly 4-1, before she got choked out.
Choked out to the woman who got blasted in the first round by Amanda Nunes.
Frank Edgar lost and was dominated. He was dominated by a man who was knocked down in 13 seconds.
He ain't get Styles make fights. I'm just saying, Styles do make fights, but Holly Holm's got a lot to prove.
Counterpuncher, it's a whole different world when someone blitzes. You know, someone else, and that's not Holly's game. So she tried to counterpunch for 5 rounds and got caught.
I'm just saying, you're fighting.
Should have blitzed her.
Like, Holly Holm took advantage of Ronda Rousey's deficiencies in kickboxing. Now she's fighting a legit kickboxer in Shevchenko. Good luck. It's not going to be easy.
No, definitely not.
She could look bad in this fight.
She could.
I'm going to say it again. She looked bad against Rocky Pennington.
She's going to try to, you know, outpoint her.
That's not good.
It's going to be like a kickboxing match. Like, Cobra Kai Dojo.
That's not good.
Guy holding up little flags every time you score a point.
Anything else we got to talk about with MMA?
No, we talked about, you know, the skull-crushing knee and the Pokemon celebration. That's pretty much the world of MMA. And you know what? The UFC is sold, like we touched on.
$4
billion. $4 billion. They got up out of here at the right time. Cashed out. And the Fertitta's like, yo, we're good. We're going to go back up. Watch our kids play at Bishop Gorman High School, relax, run the newly acquired Palms, and just stack money. I wouldn't be surprised to see them flip that money, though, and buy a property on the Strip.
Or buy the Raiders.
Yo, he was talking about it.
The Raiders out.
Yeah. He's talking about, you know, putting up that money. You can literally Jerry Jones it off a straight profit. Jerry built Jerry World, and he doesn't have to answer to the city. He doesn't have to answer to anyone. The Fertittas could build the field for the Raiders and not have to answer to anyone.
That's true.
And you can have a stadium UFC show just off the strength of, yo, Dana, thank you, you know.
Yeah,
here, here's giving back. You want to put Conor in the stadium? Yeah, it's not in Ireland. It's here.
That's crazy. Well.
A lot of options, and it's all profit. You do whatever you want when it's all profit.
It's true. Feels good to not have that much to talk about in MMA this week.
Oh, it's great. Usually because we're just blasted. And next week we'll talk about the Robbie Lawler fight, UFC 201.
True indeed.
And make sure people know about that. Right now, though, we're going to take a break. We're chilling. People are here in the fight shop because Virgil is signing autographs right next to us. Everyone's watching the show. We're going to take a quick break, get something to drink. You guys stay tuned because when we come back, we're talking boxing. And some other craziness went down that I want to talk about.
Yeah, sure.
Low fantasy bucket. Stay tuned.
What up, everybody? This is Kel Dansby, one half of the Corner Podcast. And I'm here to tell you to check out the Las Vegas Fight Shop at the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino right here in Las Vegas. Check it out. Whether you're here for a fight, for wrestling, for gambling, maybe you just want to hit the clubs like Floyd Mayweather. I don't know. Whatever your thing is, make sure you take a stop at the Las Vegas Fight Shop. They got everything. You need a gi for training? They got it. Need boxing gloves? They have it here. Just want some dope wrestling merch? They got it here. Check out my shirt collection. This is where I shop. Remember, the Las Vegas Fight Shop at the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino. Next time you're in Vegas, check it out.
All right, what's up, everybody? We are back. Thank you for staying through the break. Once again, we're here at the Las Vegas Fight Shop. Virgil is in signing autographs now.
Telling stories.
Yes, he's not on a show because he tried to charge us that fuck money. So
$100 to be.
Yeah, so we had to turn him down for the follow-up of our last episode with Virgil. You guys can go back and listen to that, though, if you find our greatest segments show from around Christmas time. You'll hear it on there. That shit is insane. And he's telling more stories like that now.
Yeah, so, all I hear is him talking about Ric Flair and his headboard.
Yeah, he was banging chicks in Ric Flair's car. Some wild shit.
Anyway.
I posted a mini video on my Twitter. You guys could go check that out. He's still same old Virgil. I don't know if he still has an Olive Garden with midgets, though.
Oh, God.
We got to ask him this off air. Yeah. But I wanted to talk about, before we get into boxing, yo, Kim K outed Taylor Swift. I know you're a busy man. You had to have seen this, though.
I saw it. And then I just didn't care. And then because there was a lot of people that were, like, up in arms about it. Like, oh, Taylor's a liar. So, yeah. So they talked. I don't think Taylor gave Kanye the green light to call her a bitch, but they talked about it for sure. But Kim K was...
That's dirty, though. Just taking a video, just blasting it. Like, that's dirty tactics, yo.
Why did she wait so long is my only question.
It's very true. The video came out, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, do it when it's relevant. Like, don't do it when it's irrelevant. And, like, I mean, people care, but not that much. I don't know. That's your girl.
Yeah. But, like we always do on the show when there's beef, we got to do who would win in the octagon, Taylor Swift or Kim K? And this is, like, current Kim K, not when she actually had a natural body Kim K.
Go ahead, make your pick.
I'm going with Taylor Swift in the upset. I think she got a little Joanna in her. She's used to, like, getting her heart broken and shit. You got to be a fighter if you get your heart broken by that many men. Kim K doesn't seem like a fighter at all to me.
Kim K looks like a kept girl and has been kept for a long time, so she's never been in real squab. So I think that Taylor Swift has thrown down a time or two back in her day.
Yeah.
She had that, you know, that down-home country ass-kicking, that blue-collar ass-kicking.
Yeah, she got in some fights.
Yeah, I don't think Kim K's ever been in a fight.
No. Chloe handles the work.
Yeah, but even she, I don't think, has really been in a fight.
Chloe wears cornrows. You wear cornrows, you've been in a fight.
She wears them as a fashion statement. She don't wear them as a thug.
Yo,
fuck that family. That whole family, come on. For real.
Nah, she look like she got the Queen Latifah joint.
That's what I'm just saying. Like, there ain't no real thug life. Like, I think Taylor Swift might have a little bit of... I don't think she's a great scrapper, but I'm just saying that she looks like she might have been... She wasn't born into money like the Kardashian family was.
Yo, I forgot to ask you, and I haven't even talked to you about the Honors Awards with the ladies. The Hip Hop Honors. We haven't talked about it at all. It wasn't in our show rundown or anything. And I know you got something to say about this.
Play Nintendo with C's at Alamo. Yo. If you're going
to
be...
Genius has to change those lyrics, by the way.
If you're going to be on an honor show paying homage to a late great rapper.
Correct.
First of all, you're
in
New
York.
Why'd
they get him?
Why you get Rich Homie Quantum? All people. Did nobody else pick up the phone?
Yeah, somebody from New York that might know this. Any one of the ASAP people.
And if you don't know the lyrics to Get Money, you should be fired. You should have your rapping license revoked. Like, there's no way you should not know the lyrics to Get Money. Everybody knows the lyrics to Get Money.
Easy.
And then, on top of that, Lil' Kim forgot it damn near half of the shit that she was supposed to rap.
Kim looks like a completely different person.
Yo, I didn't know who Kim was when she came out. I was like, yo, who the fuck is this on TV?
You saw him at Mayweather gym during the Mayweather fight. During, like, his the circus tent, open workouts.
The circus is right, because that's exactly where Kim belongs.
Like, one, she's lighter than Steph Curry. She's completely team light skin now. And then her whole face looks different. She looks like Tamar Braxton.
She was worse than Tamar. Like, she got plastic surgery before plastic surgery was, like, really cool.
Oh, before the Dr. Miami.
So, like, a lot of the like, her ass and everything looks really bad. In her face, she looks like a cat. It's just like she got carrot tops plastic surgery. But back to the honors, man.
The real stretchy face.
Man, I was so disappointed to see, like, Rich Homie Quan up there and just completely blow it. And then Kim forgetting her lyrics. I'm just like, what was the point of this? And then it's what's really confusing is you have Lil' Kim perform first, right? And she talks about, you know, bitches and all this shit. And then Queen Latifah's talking about unity in the next performance. So every woman at home was, like, mad confused. Like, am I supposed to be a bitch? Are you not supposed to call me a bitch? Because you and I.T.Y. is about who you calling a bitch.
Yeah.
And Lil' Kim's calling herself a bitch. I'm confused. This was a horrible setup.
That's the 90s. This is women in the 90s.
So, but overall, the show was good aside from that. Like, but... Play Nintendo with C's at Alamo. Did you see the image that somebody made?
Nah. Which one? Yo, Twitter wrecked him.
There's an image of Lil C's holding up two Nintendo controllers at the Alamo rent-a-car place. It's just unbelievable.
Photoshoppers undefeated.
I have to pull it up. But I've got to pull this thing. If you haven't seen it by now, I don't know why, but it's just so ridiculous.
Yo, I couldn't believe he messed up. I was like, again? This is worse than Lupe.
It's
messing up.
Yeah, this, like, beats out Lupe. Like, this was the worst of...
It's Biggie. How don't you know Biggie?
Dog, you don't mess up Biggie lyrics, man. And there's no, like, excuse. Like, nobody can sit there and say, you know what? That's okay. You could do that. Here's the picture.
Oh, yo, that's hilarious. in the juicy shirt.
What made Rich Homie Quan think that he plays Nintendo with Little C's at the Alamo Rent-A-Car place?
Yo, what? I don't even know where Rich Homie Quan is from.
He's Atlanta? From down south. I believe he's from Atlanta.
He has to be my age, though, so there's no excuse.
There's just no excuse to not know the lyrics to Get Money. None. None. I'm so disappointed.
To do that, you might as well have bought out Young Thug and just had him, like, for the perimeter. Like, just go crazy voice.
Yeah, something.
Over it. Like, you're going to wreck it. Wreck it all the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, oh, man, Big is somewhere just like, yo, really? New York fell off this much?
Big is rolling over.
What's Jada doing? Where's Fab, like?
Anybody. Look at that Diddy do it. He was there.
Puff know all that shit now.
Shit.
Yo, I'm telling you, it's just horrible, horrible, horrible. And Faith introduced Lil' Kim, which is the most awkward shit in the world, by the way.
Yeah. And why does Kim have Biggie's son? Did you see Lil' Kim's son have the lazy eye like Biggie?
Really? Like she froze the sperm?
Like she channeled the ghost of Biggie into her womb and gave birth to a Biggie baby. Because the lazy eye is prevalent.
I'm not going to out myself in my youthful single days, but Brooklyn girls are crazy. So you never know. She could have just saved it. It was like, yo, in the future, I'm having Biggie's baby.
All of this was odd. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Brooklyn girls. You never know what Brooklyn girls get up to. Mm. Let's talk about boxing. just more stupid shit. Adrian Broner, yeah, 30 days in the slammer.
For not showing up to a mandated court appearance based off what happened in January where he robbed dude of his own money that he gambled off outside of the Cincinnati bowling alley. He deserves it. I can't ever feel bad for this guy ever again. He wants to vote for Donald Trump.
He should have took whatever offer they gave him for the Pacquiao fight.
He should have took the Pacquiao money.
Because where is he earning money from?
I don't know. At this point, I don't know what you do with Adrian Broner. He's a legitimate liability. Thank God he's not in the UFC in like some high-profile fight where he's getting pulled by John Jones. But him and John Jones are almost the same path.
Yo, I mean, it'd be very fitting in the UFC.
John Jones is a way better fighter, but
a little more worth it with John Jones.
Yeah, just Adrian Broner's just stupid. Man.
Oh man, I don't know how he's gonna hold up in prison. He likes to eat too much. He gets a little portly.
You see his mugshot?
Yeah,
out here looking like he's 190.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely gained a lot of weight. The face is the first thing to get chubby too. Yeah. So he looks like he's far away from fighting. This can't help. He might come out. He might be the opposite of Gucci Mane.
Yeah.
He come out like with the Gucci belly. Whatever Gucci lost to get the six pack, he's gonna pack it on in jail.
Yeah, whatever supplements Gucci is taking, y'all better figure that out.
he's not on that John Jones. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Something went left. So we have Broner. What else did we have in the boxing world? Deontay Wilder killed Areola. Damn, I thought he was going to stop in the fourth. I was like, yeah, my prediction came true. KO in the fourth. Couldn't get him out of there. Led to him breaking his hand and tearing his bicep, though.
Sidelines until next year, so any hope of a Joshua fight was probably wouldn't happen until next year.
I was about to say, do we think he was taking the Joshua fight before then?
Like, we still got to see what happens with Fury and Klitschko, so. I mean, but, you know, he made his check. Unfortunately, you know, he had to go through the whole Povetkin ordeal and got the Areola
fight. Did he get the belt?
Yeah, he got the belt. Well, okay.
What happened? Povetkin had the belt.
I don't know.
That shit up in the air? It got to be up in the air.
It's sad. Like, I cover this shit for a living.
There's too many belts. I can't even blame you for that. Like, check ring next time you write or something. Just click over and let me know. Like, yo, what happened to that belt? I don't even know. No one's going to fight Povetkin now. They think he's a juicer.
Yeah, exactly. Who wants, I mean, especially the heavyweight division. It's like, who wants that check that bad? Against a guy that nobody knows.
Someone just bought a Virgil autograph.
Congratulations.
For their daughter. Their daughter's like five. Yo, that's so bananas.
Okay.
Two of them. Okay, I'm sidetracked. This weekend we have a fight. We're both going to be at the fight covering the fight.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't even know.
I had to skip Comic-Con for this.
That's a damn shame.
Yeah, I was going to go to Comic-Con. I was actually going to go yesterday and then drive back Saturday. But it was just too much of a headache, and I was like, maybe I'll just go to Comic-Con Sunday and just catch the tail end of it. But, yes, this weekend we have Terrence Crawford versus Victor Postol, battle of the two best 140-pounders in the world, both fighting for a belt, a fight that most people have complained we don't get to see often in boxing, where a number one fights a number one, the two best guys fight each other. But nobody cares because
Because they put it on pay-per-view.
They had no choice. Unfortunately, HBO didn't have the budget to make this fight happen on HBO television. So in order for it to happen...
Do they think they're going to recoup money by making it a pay-per-view?
They will make enough money to break even and keep Terrence Crawford happy. And that's all Bob Arum needs to do at this point. Unless Terrence Crawford loses, it changes everything. Crawford wanted to fight 3 times this year. He wants to fight now, and he wanted to fight in November, which lines him up for the Manny Pacquiao fight if he wins. But this isn't just a conceivably winnable fight for Crawford. This is a tough fight.
No, it's definitely tough. Even though Crawford looked amazing his last fight.
Yeah.
So I'm not counting him out by any means. But, yeah, it's not going to be easy. This is one where you got to be a smart boxer and not just, you know, a brawler. He can't open up like he did in his last fight. It's going to be great. And the people who do see it, however you may see it.
Thievery. I'm not endorsing that. I just know
no,
what's
yes,
happen.
Yes, yes. What is this streaming people speak of? I've never heard of it. Never in my life. You get my $60 all the time. Sports. So, yeah, I mean, we'll watch it. We'll be at the fights. Crawford, like you said, lines himself up. And Postal, you know, with a crazy win, he might line himself up for that Pacquiao fight.
Oh, he definitely does. I mean, Victor Postal, the funny thing is he's trained by Freddie Roach as well. And since getting with Freddie Roach, Postal's not known as a finisher, but he knocked out Lucas Batiste and he knocked out Celik Aydın. In 2 out of his last 3 fights, he scored knockouts. So something Freddie's doing has changed Victor Postal. He's tall. He's got a long jab.
He definitely move up from 140.
Oh, he. I talked to him the other day. I talked to him the other day. He said he's interested in moving to 147, wherever the money's at. But this could be a big breakout performance for him and line him up for the Manny Pacquiao fight. And either way, if Manny Pacquiao's really returning, because we don't know what's going on. No, Bob Arum's adamant that it's November 5th here in Vegas.
Sooner or later, someone's going to tell him, like, yo, Manny, we need more money.
Yeah, his wife.
Yeah.
But she's going to say, but don't box, Mandy. And man's going to have to box Jinky. This is all I do. And they're just going to have to fight. But this is a great fight that people shouldn't miss. But I get it if you're not going to pay to watch it. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, even though Oscar Valdez is on the card and he's a great fighter.
Listen, if you don't want to pay, that's cool. Watch it next weekend for free on HBO.
Find a way to watch this fight. Yeah. This is going to be a
just
great fight.
Wait a week. My grandma does that shit all the time. She refuses to pay for pay-per-views unless I buy it for her. And she'll just wait until the following week and watch him for free.
Yeah. I'm picking Terrence Crawford to win this fight. I think he has completely mastered the art of adjusting mid-fight to anybody's game plan. We saw him do it against Gamboa. We saw him make small adjustments against Hammer and Hank Lundy. He doesn't have the resume that Postal has, even though Postal doesn't have a great resume either. Matisse and Gamboa are kind of interchangeable. I think Matisse probably is the better fighter. But I think Crawford, he's on his way to being the best fighter that's not Gennady Golovkin.
Is he moving up that pound for pound?
Yeah, I think if he handles his business, he moves up. I think he's maybe like
he cleared out
a
division, right? Well, like, I mean, effectively with this.
Yeah, I mean, he can go up to 147 and you know take a look at guys like Jesse Vargas and a lot of those guys. Top Rank just doesn't have a whole lot for him to do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's not a star-making performance because nobody's going to see it. You can't make a star of somebody that nobody sees. But he's a great – and he's done himself no favors because he doesn't say anything in his interviews.
I have not interviewed him. You had
– Yeah, and it was
the
bad.
Opportunity to interview him. And
it was bad. I'll just be frank. And I like Bud. Like, Terrence Crawford's a great fighter, but you could tell he doesn't like doing interviews, and he just gives, like, one-word answers.
And this is why it's his first fight in Vegas.
Yeah, it's not. He fought in Vegas. He fought the Hard Rock years ago.
Really?
I was ringside for it. I remember it.
So it's headlining.
His first pay-per-view headlining here in Vegas. It's cheap for him to do it. It's cheap for the site fees are cheap. Pay-per-view is cheap.
But usually they send him home.
Yeah, well, they send him home to Omaha, but they're not going to sell pay-per-views out of Omaha. At least the Allure of Vegas looks like something.
No one's coming in for the fight. You met anyone that flew in for this fight?
There's a few people that are coming in from L.A. making that drive because it's going to be a good fight. If you're a boxing fan, this is a great fight.
No, definitely.
If you're a casual fan, fuck it. You're not going to watch this
fight. Not on pay-per-view. Not for 60.
Not for 30. Not for 20. Not for 10. You want to watch this on HBO for free.
So they put this on a WWE network.
I'm just saying, like,
you're spending that $10.
So they have to figure this out because this is too good of a fight for people to miss and everybody's going to miss it.
No, I definitely agree. That wraps up our fight talk for this week. We're coming back next week with another show for you guys, just like all the time. I'm going to come over here. Before we break everything down, I'm going to ask Virgil, try to chop it up with Virgil, see if we get like some funny videos or something. You never know. everybody. We got Virgil here for a couple minutes. He's taking some time out from signing autographs and, you know, talking to the people. Thank you for hopping on with us, Virgil.
Okay, man. No big deal, man.
It's great to see you here in the flesh, looking like a living legend.
Okay, looking like a legend, feeling like a legend, but got a little cranks and aches that hit you here and there, but you got to just run it off, man.
Really? It looked like you still got
Virgil. Yeah, I still can roll, baby.
Yo, you know what? We were recording our show, but we heard you talk a little bit about a story about Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah. Flair's a cool guy, man. One of the best guys out, bro. One of the great, great, great workers. One of the best, okay? And that's why he could still go and rock a building still, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's still on
and
TV.
They still want to hear, woo! Yeah, they still like it, right?
Yeah, they still love it. Yeah. People go crazy. You know, his daughter doing well? Everything.
Oh, yeah, she's doing very, very good. You mean?
Very good. I know. Listen, you were there for the glory days of Flair and in the road days. Yeah. You guys used to roll together on the road a little bit?
Not really, because my first 6 years, man, me and Ted had a whole program. It was 24/7. It was like limos, okay, Learjets, okay? And every time we went to the ring, 15,000 sit up to the fans. Every WrestleMania, 50,000 get rained. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
That's great.
That's good money.
That's good money, right. So you're going to come to Madison Square Garden, or you're going to come to the Great Western Forum, or you're going to come to San Diego, or you're going to come to in Baltimore, what's called the Baltimore Arena, or you're going to come to Chicago, or you're going to come to Wheeling, West Virginia, or even Butte, Montana to see it, right?
Yeah.
So roll with it, baby.
What's your favorite arena? What is your, like, favorite spot?
There's nothing that can do anything. The Garden, Madison Square. Mm. Madison Square is, you can make Madison Square, bro, you can make anything, right?
So you're in Vegas today. What's your favorite? You've been to Vegas a few times.
Oh, I've been to Vegas thousands of times, man. Because we used to wrestle in the Running Rebels. What's that?
Thomas Mack,
mm-hmm. Right? Okay, and then we had WrestleMania at
Caesar's Palace,
right?
Yep.
Okay? Right in the whole, what's he called that thing they have right there? It's like, it's not the parking area. It's like right in the...
It's like the big open area. The first outdoor one.
Will you come right into Caesar Palace, man?
Yeah. What's your favorite memory about being out here in Vegas?
Oh, man. There's so many, man. Like, I think one of the most favorite memories is taking a picture with the Running Rebels, 1991.
Larry Johnson in there.
With Larry Johnson. Stacey Augman, when they won the national championship. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
The whole squad really took a picture, man.
Man.
Ran into Larry Johnson like about a year ago.
Really? How'd that go?
They still look good, man, you mean? I asked him like about Stacey Augman, you know what I mean? And he said he hadn't seen him in a while. And there was one more guy. Remember the other guy was the MVP on that team right there.
Well, you had for Greg that one Anthony. Game. You had Greg Anthony there?
Yeah, but he ended up being like thing with ESPN, wasn't he?
Greg Anthony? He played for a while and he did analyst work, yeah.
Because there was one more.
Anderson Hunt,
that was him, man.
Mm-hmm.
I even asked him, whatever happened to Anderson Hunt? Because he was the MVP in the game, the championship game.
Yeah, Anderson Hunt was the man.
Yeah, but I never knew what happened to him.
Yeah,
you know
man.
Have you? Never heard. I mean, that like, I don't know, did he even get drafted in the NBA?
There's like a lot of people like that in a lot of sports. What wrestler do you think, you know, you've seen a lot of stuff, especially like, you know, 80s, 90s. What wrestler... have you seen that you're like, man, this guy's a star, but he never really, like, made it. Never got to that top-tier level.
I've seen some guys come in that never got to that level, but I've seen guys come with great bodies that got to that level. Like Paul Roma, great body, and he got to that level. You know what I mean? And I can't remember a couple of these guys' names. They had the look, but never got to that level. You know what I mean? So I forgot really what the names were, you know what I mean? But when you remember the names... they got to that level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Who's your favorite now, like current wrestler?
Not being current, like the guys that are great was still one of my good friends. Undertaker.
Oh,
one of my friends, man. You know what I mean? And he got to that level.
Yeah.
and Brock is one of my friends. He got to that level. Good guys, man.
What do you think about all the Brock stuff? You know, man, going UFC 200.
He's good, man. He's good.
You hear about like the test and everything. What do you think that does for Brock?
I mean, he passed all those tests and he rocked him and he came in and rocked him in WWE and he rocked him in UFC.
Well, he actually failed the test just a couple days ago.
Well, he rocked him.
He did what? He won. Yeah,
he won. That's bottom line, he won, right? Okay?
Nah, definitely. Besides that, what are your plans for being in Vegas? I know you're signing here today, but yeah. What do you do like in your off time? You enjoy the nice little light life? I know the women still love you, Virgil.
Oh, yeah, I still go around. I gotta shoot back out tomorrow, you mean? And go back to the East Coast, you mean?
Where are you living at these days, Virgil?
I mean, I live in Pittsburgh, PA.
Oh, the bird.
Steelermania, baby. Steelermania.
I can dig it, man. So yeah. where can everybody find you? Because everybody's going to be looking for you on Twitter and look for that fuck money.
Look at me on Twitter. Go to Virgil at therealvirgil.com. And give me a buzz, baby. Okay?
Make sure you guys support Virgil. Buy the merch. You know, if you ever see him sign in,
yeah,
make sure you walk up to him.
Time to come on up.
Hey, we're at the Las Vegas Fight Shop. Yep. Make sure you guys come chill. Virgil's here signing.
Tell him where I'm at. Tell him.
Las Vegas Fight Shop, Planet Hollywood, Hotel Casino in Vegas. Make sure you guys come through. Virgil has all the merch, all the pictures. He got pictures of him with everyone on this table.
And T-shirts.
T-shirts.
Come on. Fight gear.
Hey, you got the $1 million belt.
Right. You got fight gear.
Yep.
So you can still come on in.
The $1 million belt.
Come on in.
I need that belt.
Come on in.
We're going to have to share that belt. Listen, DiBiase, you don't need it. We got it.
Okay.
Thanks for being on,
man. Okay, thank you very much, man.